Ephesians chapter 1. Verses 3 through 6, follow along as I read. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who had blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as he showed us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he had made it accepted in the beloved. Let's pray. Father, prepare our hearts for partaking of the elements as we ponder to reflect your glorious work of salvation on our behalf. Father, may we never grow dull hearing the sweet method of the gospel, where it all began and where it all started. And just as the song we sang near the cross, Lord, bring the scenes of it before us. So much happened when we met you there. And Lord, as we ponder each element of it, we just glory in the cross, none other but Christ and him alone himself could do it and accomplish the work needed to redeem us back to you. So, Father, honor your word tonight. May we be encouraged as we learn more about your glorious work of salvation. In Christ's name, amen. Bible is very clear. We have preached many, many sermons on Lord's Supper, on the blessedness of the Christian life and the blessing that came as a result of our salvation. We have been blessed with every spiritual blessing, as we see in this passage. He had chosen us and had redeemed us. He had forgiven us. He had reconciled us. He had justified us. The Holy Spirit had regenerated us. We have been given divine spiritual life. God in his grace gave his eyes to see the glory of Christ and the ruin that sin brings about. He gives us and has given us the gift of repentance and faith. It would be impossible to overstate the blessings of the gifts that we receive in our regeneration, conversion, union with Christ, and our justification. But the scripture speaks of another spiritual blessing that sometimes we overlook and don't savor and meditate on, and that is the blessing of the fact that God has adopted us into the family of God. Call your attention again to verse 5. Having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ. When we talk about adoption, my goodness, there's so many portions of Scripture that speak to our adoption. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 and 5. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. From a biblical standpoint, the adoption that the Bible talked about had some legal procedure to understand to help us to appreciate from a spiritual perspective what had happened and what it means to be adopted into the family of God. Just like it was in the time of Paul and the time of the New Testament, for an adoption to take place, number one, the child's natural family and natural parents, that relationship from a legal standpoint needed to be absolutely, totally, and completely terminated. The social relationship and the legal connection was severed. The second thing needed to take place was a permanent establishment legally and emotionally with the new family. One element that was unique, not that children would bring in a lot of debt into a relationship, but if there were any debt that the person that was being adopted to, any debt they had, it would automatically cleared out off the deck. The idea that all financial obligation were eradicated as if they had no debt when they enter into the new family. Now you can see the spiritual, religious, Christian overtone to it, that we leave the old father, Satan, to the new father, the Father, and when we go, we come debt-free because Jesus paid it all. So all of this played into it. When the adoption would complete, the new son or daughter would then completely under both the care and the authority of the new father. The previous father no longer had any authority over his former child. The new family is eager to provide protection, instruction, and hope for the future. And when you think of our adoption into the family of God, when we, by nature, children of wrath, by nature, sons of disobedience, we were called the children of the devil himself. Again, look at the spiritual blessing that comes with our adoption, beginning in verse 4 of Ephesians 1. Just that he chose us in him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, what was the cause? What was the reason? According to the good pleasure of his will. There was nothing in us. It stemmed from him. It stemmed from him setting his love on us. But he had a goal for it. Next verse. To the praise of the glory of his grace by which he had made us accepted in the beloved. We are sons and daughters by adoption. This happens by faith. Colossians 3:26. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. John 1:12 said it this way. But as many receive him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name. The idea gave the right means give them the authority to do so. In adoption, God the Father legally placed regenerated, justified sinners into his family so that we become sons and daughters of God. What an honor and a privilege when we understand prior to that, we were sons of wrath and disobedience. And yet he sought us and made this happen. The honor and the privilege it to be a member of God's eternal family. But whatever you do, don't confuse regeneration, being born again, with the same thing as adoption. Two distinct things. Though they're related, they're distinct. Wayne Grudem said it this way, quote, we might initially think that we would become God's children by regeneration. Cynthia imagery of being born again in regeneration makes us think of children being born into a human family. But the idea of adoption is the opposite of the idea of being born into a family. You got the natural birth, then you got the family by adoption. Here lie two distinct things. Though they're related, the Bible distinguishes the two, blessing with respect to the author of it, the nature of it, and the means of it. First of all, in regeneration, it is the work of the Holy Spirit. In adoption is the act of the Father to declare you as a child and adopted. Second, regeneration by nature is transformative. It is the work on the heart and in the heart of man that fundamentally transforms their nature. It is transformative. It is be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The whole idea is transformative, where adoption is not. Adoption by its very nature is a different thing, on the other hand. It is declarative. It does not change the man's character. It changes their position. Rather, it is a legal act which God gives to those who receive Christ the right, meaning the legal authority to become the children of God. And the third thing that distinguishes it, when you study the doctrine of regeneration, it is said to be mediated by the means of the Word of God, based on James 1:18 and 1 Peter 1, verse 23 through 25. While adoption, it is obtained through faith in Jesus Christ. We learned that from our previous verses where it talked about in Galatians 3:26, that you are sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. And then in John 1:12, but as many received him, he gave the right to become the children of God to those who believe in him. So it's by faith rather than regeneration. The means that it's used to bring it about is the Word of God, and obviously in conjunction with the Spirit. Where adoption is obtained through faith in Jesus Christ. Though justification and adoption is declarative in nature, don't confuse those two either. Justification is when God declares it righteous or not guilty in reference to the demands of the law. Where adoption, listen carefully, this is good. It's the legal declaration by the divine judge that the justified one had been made a member of the divine judge family. Here lies the difference. You can be justified and yet not adopted, and yet God, in the richness of his mercy and grace to us as sinners, as his chosen one, he not only justified us and got us into a right standing, he didn't keep it on the outside. He brought us into the family. And he made it clear throughout the Scripture. And you'll see it often. So though justification and adoption are declarative, one is speaking of your standing with God. The other one is the relationship of the judge bringing you in as part of his family. So our adoption into the family of God, beloved, is an unspeakable blessing. J.I. Packer said in his book, Knowing God, his chapter on adoption is absolutely astounding. If you get a chance, don't reread the whole book. That's sometimes a challenge, though it'll bless you. Read his section. He had two chapters on adoption, the blessing to the soul. He said this, the highest privilege, he said the adoption, our adoption that we're talking about tonight, is the highest privilege that the gospel offers. I mean, when you look at it, we can be forgiven, but not in the family. We can be justified, not in the family. We can be reconciled, but not in the family. All of that is great and sweet, and we wouldn't want to let go of any of it. But how sweet the fact that he brought it into his family. John Murray, in his great book on Redemption Accomplished and Applied, quote, the apex of grace and privileges that staggers the imagination because of its amazing condensation and love. And it's all handy. He was talking about adoption. The adoption is the apex of grace and privileges that staggers the imagination, that speak of the condescending or the humbling of God and his love to make it happen. So what are some of the privileges that we get to have as a result of our adoption? Number one, The Holy Spirit himself takes up permanent residence in our heart. We see this in Galatians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. So we see your beautiful passage in Galatians 4, verse 6 and 7. Rich, you are son. Why? Because God sent forth the Spirit into your heart, into our heart. And it's in there that we cry out, Abba, Father. Even Romans 8, 15 and 16. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bear witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. These are incredible blessings. Beloved, we're no longer slaves of a master, but permanent sons of our Heavenly Father. The Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit to assure that this new relationship is real and genuine. When you study the word Abba, the word is the most endearing word you can use for the tenderness and intimacy between a father and a son. And here I just showed you two places where it speaks that we, as the children of God, sons of God, cry out, Abba, Father. The word Abba is only mentioned three times in the Bible. The other time is Jesus himself. When he utters these words in one of the darkest hours of his life in the Garden of Gethsemane. In Mark chapter 14, verse 36, he said, and he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. Just think, beloved, we were enemies of God, alienated from him because of our sin, and have been given the privilege to cry out to the Father in the very same manner that his beloved Son does. This is all made possible through our adoption, the fact that he adopted us into the family. That's why we pray, Our Father, who art in heaven. Secondly, now some might not think of it as a privilege, but when you understand the end goal, it is a great privilege. The fact that we are adopted into the family of God, one of the privileges of being in a family, is we will experience fatherly discipline when we go out of the way. We see that clearly when you look at Hebrews 12, 5 and 6, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speak to you as sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loved, he chastened and scourged every son whom he received. God disciplined his children, as children, so concerned with our spiritual growth that he will do what is necessary to assure our spiritual growth. God's not going to let it just go willy-nilly to do our thing as we please. When we are in his family, when he has adopted us in, one of the privileges is that he will come after us and let us know when we are out of line. Even in Proverbs 13:24, it talked about when parents don't discipline their children, it speaks to the fact that they hate their children. Doesn't matter what you feel like in a warm, fuzzy, sentimental way. You refuse to instruct and discipline your children in the way they should go. You are hating them and their soul to let them do as they please. And yet God would only do that which is right for us. God does it for our good. Also to share in that whole passage in his holiness, that we would yield the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been instructed by it. We know a lot of times you can be disciplined and not listening, right? We can be dealt with and chastened and not allowing that discipline to correct us and to instruct us in the way we should go. So those are two privileges so far that we have experienced. The fact that the Holy Spirit takes up permanent residence within us, and we have the loving fatherly discipline from God. Thirdly, adoption into God's family. This is really good, and I think we take it for granted. If the unity we enjoy with our brothers and sisters in Christ, it is this adoption that makes us, to the world perspective, weird. I remember time going places, are you family? That hesitation, are you family? Are you brothers? And we would say yes, brother in the Lord. And we would tell them that. But the point is that the Bible made it real clear that throughout the New Testament, the church had called each other by the family titles of brothers and sisters because of this great doctrine. And we need to understand how important it is that we belong to each other because of the adopting grace of our Father in heaven. That's why we stick together through thick and thin. That's why the Bible sees that always staying together no matter how hard and difficult the days may become. Even when you read during times of persecution, that's when the church loved on each other the most in so many profound and different ways. When extreme poverty hit, they would come to minister to the need. When a brother or sister was taken and tortured in the arena for the entertainment of the people, and after everybody left, they would secretly at night go get the remains of that brother or sister that was tortured or beaten or chewed up by wild beasts and give them a decent and honorable burial, because that's what brothers and sisters do. That's what family does. And so this adoption that we have is the privilege to have that unspeakable fellowship and bond that the Spirit of God gives to each other. We can have all kinds of different interests, but because of that common bond between true believers, that bond of brothers and sisters in Christ, it is so important and so endearing. And lastly, certainly not least, our adoption calls us to be like our Father. Ephesians 5, verse 1, therefore be imitators of God as dear children. The Bible makes it real clear that we are to resemble the likeness of our Heavenly Father, even in Ephesians 4, predestined to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of its will, even the verse before, chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. His predestined, His choosing us, it's all part of the plan of our sanctification to work and continue to model and be transformed into the likeness of our Heavenly Father. 1 Peter 1, 14 through 16 says it this way, as obedient children, notice the language, obedient children, not conforming yourself to the former lust as in your ignorance, but as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. One more, Philippians chapter 2, verse 15. That you may become blameless and harmless children of God. That's the language. Not blameless and harmless believers, Christians, children of God. Keeping that family element, the adoption, constantly keeping that before us, not only in our relationship to Him, but each other. Children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. So, beloved, tonight, when we prepare our hearts for the Lord's Supper, may we think and reflect upon our adoption, all made possible. Yet, all the other unspeakable blessings in our salvation that we have learned over the years, and over the years from our own personal study, let us also put one more in that list. Our adoption, the fact that we can cry out, Abba, Father. We can truly, with a clear conscience, say, Our Father in heaven. And may we understand being part of this family carried with it privileges and responsibilities. We already talked about those. We can enjoy one another in Christ. We've been called to be like Him in likeness. We need to listen and respond to His chastening and forever be thankful for the permanent dwelling ministry of the Holy Spirit, because I tell you, if we were left to ourselves to be prompted to do holy things and have holy desire, that wouldn't happen. But because of the ministry of the Holy Spirit, those things all are now possible. Our duty now is to respond, to yield, not resist, not quench, not grieve, to walk in the Spirit and walk as children of light. And that language, and hopefully you'll pick that up when you go to your reading for this year in the New Testament. When you talk about children of God, sons of God, all tied into our adoption. So may God richly bless the preaching of His word as we now partake of the elements. Let's pray. Father, how sweet You thought of everything. You not only set us free, You forgave us, You cleaned up our record, You cleared our debt, You reconciled it back to Yourself, and You also did one of the most incredible things. You made a joint heir with Your Son. We could have gone on of our inheritance because of our adoption. There are so much that we could have touched on. But Lord, may we take these wonderful thoughts and nuggets and to feed and feast and meditate upon them. Let it be joy and rejoicing to our hearts to be moved with absolute gratitude and appreciation for our great salvation in Christ. Father, as we partake of the elements soon, may You be honored and glorified. In Christ's name, amen.